Bibles, please, for our second reading, which we will find in Jeremiah chapter 14, the prophet Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped. For there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land, by sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hast thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against Thee. Do not abhor us for Thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of Thy glory. Remember, break not Thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not Thou He, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon Thee, for Thou hast made all these things. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Well, if you remember when we started Jeremiah, I told you that there would be some very, very hard words from the Lord to this people. Remember that Jerusalem had become a city of idol worship, that at the head of every street there was indeed an altar unto that false god, Baal. And so it is with that as a backdrop that we see the judgment of the Lord ready to fall upon the people. And notice that it has, in a sense, already fallen. And if I could just speak with you about that for a moment. I often have an opportunity to talk to folks about the estate of our own nation. They'll ask me as a pastor, what do you think of America? If she doesn't repent, will she come under judgment? And I always say, when I'm asked that question, you don't see the signs of judgment already? You don't see that? We are a nation that for the last almost 40 years now has legalized the killing of our own children in the womb. Is that not judgment? We are a nation that has seen the things in which we trust, the idols of our age, shaken down to the ground. Our financial institutions, Wall Street, our mortgage and borrowing industry, we have seen them shaken and ready to fall. Is that not judgment? In this particular area of the country, we have seen drought. And although we asked for rain, the Lord has been pleased in many instances to send fire instead. Is that not judgment? We have seen storms of almost unprecedented size scrape portions of the state of Florida to their foundations, slam into the southern end of this country, and cause extreme devastation not only to people that live there, but to the oil industry in which we trust. Is that not judgment? Brothers and sisters, judgment is already here. These are only the beginning throes, and yet they are simply judgments. These are those trumpets that the Lord sounds to give warning. Except we repent, something worse will come. That's where we are as a nation. You heard me pray just a moment ago that we, especially as God's people, would be on our knees in prayer for our nation for repentance, that we would take up the office of a Daniel, that we would take up the office of an Ezra, who, although they themselves were not involved in those national sins, prayed as though they were, because they were part of that wicked nation. What can we do to avert the judgment that seems to be coming on this country? We can take up the office of a Daniel, the office of an Ezra. We can also take up the office of a Nehemiah in our place and station and speak to those who are systematically violating the Sabbath day. Speak to those who are systematically putting away their wives. Speak to those who are systematically breaking down the family. We can, in our places and stations, do what the Lord has put into our hands. And when we refuse those remedies, those means that God has given us, what else is there to expect but judgment? So notice this chapter opens with a harbinger of greater judgment to come, a dearth. The dearth that is spoken of here is a drought. That's what it means. It's a drought. We know what that's like even here in North Texas, don't we? While other portions of our nation are suffering under floods, we are suffering under drought. The Lord is able, isn't He, to send floods in one place, drought in another. And yet the message is the same. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. But notice also from this chapter, and I know I'm speaking broadly and thematically over this chapter, that's fine. Notice also from this chapter that there is an end to those windows of repentance. That there is a point in this chapter, and I don't know if you heard it or not when we were reading together, but it should have just galvanized your attention. when the Lord turns to Jeremiah and says what? Pray not for this people for their good. He doesn't tell him not to pray for them. He says, don't pray for their good. In other words, pray for their chastisement. Pray for their whipping. Pray that they would be, that they would suffer. Pray that they would repent. Pray that these judgments that are coming, these chastisements, these trumpets that they're hearing would have their due fruit. Remember that it is not an act of kindness on the part of the Lord when a nation goes astray if He keeps feeding them, if He keeps causing the rain to grow, to fall and the crops to grow, if He gives them blessing after blessing after blessing and they're going off in their sin with those blessings, that is not a kindness. That is setting them up for a riper judgment to come. That the Lord sent a dearth to Jerusalem, that the Lord was sending greater judgments than those to Jerusalem, is still an act of mercy. I hope you hear that. It is merciful, because the worst thing that can happen to any of us as a nation, as individuals, as families, is that we sin with impunity, that we get away with it. Because what that teaches us is that we can get away with more and more. Oh, we want to be caught. We want the chastisement of the Lord. We want the correction of the Lord. We want Him to spank us if we need it, in order that we may learn obedience. And so the depth of the sin requires the intensity of the chastisement. As they had idols set up at the head of every street, the Lord is taking away their water. He's taking away their water first. And if they refuse to cry out unto Him in the loss of their water, if they keep crying out to Baal to make it rain, then the Lord will continue in those judgments. Of course, the Lord had already put a terminus on it. He'd already said, you're going to be carried away captive. I'm going to send a strong nation to carry you away in order that you may be saved. Because those who stay in the city will die by the sword. When Babylon comes, the Lord has said through His prophet Jeremiah, go with them. Don't stay in the city. Since you have forsaken this city, so have I, the Lord says. Go to Babylon, marry, buy houses, buy and sell, and prepare for your return. And yes, the Lord does promise a return in the next chapter. All right, so we want to see Jeremiah here also. What is the right response of God's people in such a time as this? Notice that Jeremiah pleads with the Lord not for the sake of the people, but for the sake of the Lord's own honor, for the sake of the Lord's own name. That ought to be the cry upon our lips as well. As our leaders in this nation have said that all kinds of religions are viable religions and have denigrated the name of Yahweh in doing so, we ought to cry that the Lord would vindicate His own name in whatever way He sees fit. As the Lord has, for our turning away from Him, sent judgments upon this land, harbingers of greater judgment to come, we should pray that the Lord, for His own sake, would be merciful, for the sake of His own great name, whatever that mercy looks like, whether it is a hard mercy or one that is more palpable to us. But our goal should be the same as Jeremiah's in applying this to our own era, that what we ought to look for is the Lord to rise up in defense of His own name, to show the nations that He is God. We ought not to be so very concerned for our own comforts that we would want our comforts at the expense of God's name. Finally, in this passage, there is a there is a word to the prophets who prophesy falsely. And as there are some of you in this congregation that are officers in the church, and also some of you who ascribe to the ministry someday, let me tell you this. Do not prophesy falsely. Handle the Word of God rightly. Preach not fearing the face of men. Preach yourself out of a job if that's what it means to preach truly, if you must. Do not change your theology to keep your job. Notice the prophets prophesied falsely. They said, surely we will have peace in this place. And I'm sure they had lots of portions of Scripture they were pointing to. And they weren't calling the people to account on their idolatry. And they weren't hearkening to Deuteronomy chapter 32, in the song of Moses, where Moses prophesied by the voice of the Spirit of God, if you turn away from me and if you worship false gods, I will scrape you out of this land. That's one scripture they weren't turning to, those false prophets in that day. And for the rest of us, those who do not ascribe to the ministry, listen, find faithful ministers and support them. Find faithful churches and support them, because in our day and age, they are few and far between, generally small ministries that barely limp along financially. Now, that's okay. That's all right. But to stay in the larger and apostate churches because they're more comfortable, brothers and sisters, we will answer to the Lord for that. Find those faithful ministers. Hear the word of the Lord at their hand. And listen for the voice of the shepherd in that preaching. Thus ends the reading of Jeremiah chapter 14. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.